never develop perseverance unless your faith is tested. The more difficult it is to believe God, the greater the perseverance that's developed in our heart.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, your host. Today we are in part two of a message called Positive Under Pressure. Pastor Mark Jobe is taking us through James chapter 1, a completely practical book and a very powerful, powerful message to us when we are having trials and difficulties. What does God's Word say to us? Friend, I am excited to tell you that if you don't know what to do, God actually tells you what to do. And in today's message, in part two of Positive Under Pressure, Pastor Mark's going to show us what James says we need to do if we don't know what to do, and how to make sure we're not wasting our trial. I mean, think about how difficult your life is right now and the things you're going through. Could you imagine going through all of that for nothing? Well, God's Word tells us how to make sure we don't waste that trial and use it for all that it's worth. And as we get into the Word today, be encouraged. Tune your heart in. God wants to take you through this next season, and we're excited to be a part of that. This is Positive Under Pressure from James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12.
Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So the way to develop perseverance is when our faith is tested. You will never develop perseverance unless your faith is tested. The harder the test, the greater the perseverance. The more difficult it is to believe God, the greater the perseverance that's developed in our heart. And why is perseverance, why is hupomone so important? Because hupomone is what allows us to develop character in our life. It's hupomone, perseverance, opens up the door to change our heart, to form maturity inside of us, strong spirituality inside of our soul. And what James is saying is that perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Some of the translations say perfect, but it's not perfect as in no flaw or wrinkle, but it means fully grown up, fully completed, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You're fully grown up in God, fully spiritual, strong in your faith, in your love, in your mercy, in your knowledge of God. How do you get there? You get there through the doorway of trials that are testing your faith. And when you remain faithful, doing what's right, even when it's hard, it produces perseverance that brings about character and maturity in your life. The Bible says that Jesus was obedient even unto death. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to the Father, "Lord, I don't want to drink this cup of suffering, of pain, of difficulty, but not my will be done, but yours be done." And so he went willingly to the cross, maintaining the joy, because he knew that he was being obedient to the Father, even though this would be painful and difficult in his life. Are you tracking with me? The road to maturity is not an easy road. It's a road where we say yes to hard things. It's the road where a young 23-year-old man comes to Christ and he says yes to Jesus. And that yes to Jesus may mean I break up with the girlfriend that doesn't know the Lord and wants to sleep together every night and party. And he says no and determines, I'm going to live in chastity until I get married. 23, high hormones. Lot of opportunity, been the lifestyle. And when all of his buddies are going out on Friday night, he's saying, no, I'm staying in. I'm hanging out with my friends, but I'm choosing what is difficult. I'm choosing purity in my singleness until I get married. And someone says, well, do you have are you engaged? No. Are you dating? No. Well, how long do you think it's going to be till you get married? Maybe 4 or 5 years. You're going to be pure and live in chastity until you're 27 years old, 28 years old. Yeah. That's perseverance. That's saying, I'm going to do what's right, even though it's hard and difficult. And I'm going to choose that lifestyle because I know that's right. Let me tell you what happens to that 23-year-old guy when he gets married. When he gets married, he's learned what it means to experience delayed gratification and not give in to the desires of the flesh. Let me tell you, if he lives pure until he gets married, then when he gets married, you better believe it. He's going to be much more likely to be faithful to his wife and strong for his wife and faithful to his children. Why? Because he's learned through perseverance what it means to live a certain way when it's hard to live that way. I'm talking about hupomone, standing up under the pressure when it's difficult to do. And he says, so perseverance must have its full effect on your life. In other words, what happens to a lot of us is that we start going through the trial and we give up. We take the easy way out. And so what he's telling us is that perseverance must finish its cycle. I have to admit to you, you know, we share chores around our house, and I do my share, I think, at least. Don't talk to my wife. She may have a different, but I feel like I do my share, and I wash dishes. I help clean up, and, you know, I make the bed sometimes. One thing I don't do very well, though, is laundry. My wife says I don't even know how to work the laundry machine. That's what she says, but I you know, that's not quite true fully. I know you throw it in there, and there's a couple buttons you press, and it's not that hard. But what I do know is that there are cycles in the washing, right? The wash cycle and the dry cycle. And what happens when halfway through the cycle of wash, someone opens up the washer machine door and tries to take the clothes out? What happens? The process hasn't finished. Some of you are like, I don't know. You've never done it. You don't, you're worse than I am. You What happens if you open it up halfway through the cycles is that it still has soap in it because it hasn't gone through the rinse cycle yet. And so it's not ready for the dryer because it's full of soap and suds inside because you've sabotaged halfway through the cycle. You haven't let it finish its cycle. And if you don't let it finish its cycle, it's not ready for the next cycle, which is the dryer. Some of you are like that with your trials. You start going through a trial, it gets really hard, you do well for a while, and then halfway through you say, I can't do this anymore, and you bail out, and you're all halfway sudded with soap, and you try to jump in the dryer, but you know what, you're not ready for your next cycle, and what happens is you have to repeat that cycle over again. Let me tell you, I'm talking to someone here today. Some of you are wasting your trials. And you have to go right back to square one and go through another trial the same way because you've wasted a whole trial. You've gone through a trial and you bail out through the easy way, and God has to put you right through that cycle again of trial in order for you to grow. And some of you keep repeating the same trial over and over and over and over and over again, and you haven't grown or learned or matured, even though your life has been full of trials, because you keep bailing out the easy way. Some of you have a lot of trials, but you haven't grown. You've repeated kindergarten 5 or 6 times. By this time, you should be mature for all the trials that you've been through. Hear me well. Trials don't make you necessarily mature unless you go through the trial the right way. Sometimes trials make you bitter, angry, jaded, cynical. I've watched people that have been through a hard life, and man, they are hard. They're not more like Jesus. They're like more, a little bit more like the devil, I would say. They're not, it's not like, wow, trials have really helped you develop your character. No, no, no. They've made them angry, bitter, cynical, hateful. But then I've seen other people that have been through those same kind of trials, and they are poised and mature and strong and deep in their faith, because it's not the trial that matures you. It's how you go through the trial that matures you. Come on, I'm talking to somebody here. I know that. It's the way you're going through the trial. Are you doing what's right when it's hard? Are you still continuing to do what's right when it's hard? Not complaining and groaning and moaning the whole time, but keeping your joy, saying God is still in control. Oh, I know life is hard, but God is good. Oh, I know this is difficult, but I know he's still on the throne. I'm going to praise him even when it's hard. I'm going to bless his name because he's got a purpose and a plan even in the midst of my trial. That's what the Word of God says. So don't waste your trial. Maturity isn't automatic. It's how you go through it. So not only must you see beyond the trial, you can't cave in. And thirdly, you need to ask for wisdom. There is guaranteed help for those who ask with simple faith. Verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, I know sometimes I do. If any of you lacks wisdom, what is wisdom? The dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, and lasting. Don't confuse knowledge with wisdom. You can have a lot of knowledge but be a fool. Knowledge is knowing how to do something. Wisdom is knowing how to apply the knowledge that you have. Knowledge is, I know how to use a gun. Wisdom is, I know when to use it and when not to use it. There's a difference. If any of you lacks wisdom, how to apply the knowledge, wisdom for what? Wisdom for the trial that you're going through. Wisdom through the situation that's testing your faith.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Positive Under Pressure, which is from Pastor Mark's brand new series called James, Faith That Works. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of James, and his message is entitled Positive Under Pressure.
You're in the middle of a situation that you're not sure, how do I do this, God? I'm confused. I want to do what's right, but I'm not sure I know what is right. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives, oh, I love this, generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. How does God give? Say it with me. Generously. You know what generously means? I mean, it's a big portion overflowing. Like your grandmother did when you went over to her house to eat. Like, come on, eat. I'm going to fatten you up a little bit. Give you some more. That's a generous portion. The Bible says that when we ask of God in the middle of a trial, God doesn't look at us and reproach us for asking from him. Is God doesn't look at you and say, oh, here you are again. Man, you came to ask me for prayer last time and you blew it and you're here asking me again? No, the Bible says that God doesn't view us that way. He gives us generously, listen, without finding fault. Without finding fault in whom? In you. He doesn't look at you and say, oh, you failure. Here you are again. Man, how many times do I have to give you wisdom? No, the Bible, I love this about God. When you're forgiven, you're forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, God's not bringing it up again. He's not reminding you. He's not telling you you failed before. God says, I forgave you. It is done, clean, The slate has been wiped. He remembers it no more. And when you come to ask God for wisdom, he says, I'm glad to give it to you, son or daughter, generously without looking to say, no, you have a fault, so I'm not going to give it to you. That's the heart of God. Some of you don't ask God because you feel like you're not worthy of his answer or prayer. And you know what? You're not. And neither am I. Thank God for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that gives us what we need, even though we don't deserve it. That's grace, unmerited, undeserved favor that comes from God. The Bible says that when you approach God, you will find a throne of grace that comes through Jesus Christ. And so he's not reproaching you. He's not finding fault. He's not like trying to go to the bank to get a loan. All right, let me look at your credit score. Whoa, you forgot to pay your Macy's bill. This is late. We got a whole record of all your wrongs, and so we're not going to give you a loan. No, God's not like that. He gives us generously without finding fault. Generously what? Wisdom that you need in the middle of your trial. But all he asks of you, it says in verse 6, is that when you ask, that you believe and you don't doubt. Because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. One day it's up, one day it's down. You've ever sat on the shore of the ocean and watched the waves for a little bit on a windy day? The waves are somewhat unpredictable. They come, they go. One is high, one is low. In northern Spain, where my mother lives, they do a lot of surfing. And so I've been out there a few times. It's a lot harder than what it looks to get on one of those boards. But the thing about the waves is you got to wait for the right wave. And it's hard to predict when the right wave is going to come because it's up and it's down and you got to wait for a while. And sometimes it comes in this way, sometimes it comes, but a surfer waits for the right wave and then catches the right wave. James is saying the person that doubts is like the wave. You're up, you're down. Sometimes you believe, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're in, sometimes you're out. Sometimes you want to follow God, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you believe he's got a plan. Sometimes you believe that he's not even there. He says, you know what? If you come to God, you need to believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It means that you need to say, God, my faith isn't always as strong every day, but I'm going to believe you consistently, God. I'm going to come to you and not doubt what your word says. And by the way, if you have struggle with faith, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes from what? From the word of God. So if you want to boost your faith, there are chances are you're not getting into the word of God enough. You need to saturate your mind in the word. You need to be around the word, hear the word, meditate the word, memorize the word, listen to teaching, put on your audio Bible as you're driving into work. Get into the word, because the word increases your faith. And then he says, because that man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Listen, if your faith is up and down, you're unstable. You're full of energy when you go to a men's encounter retreat, and then you're ready to walk away from God when the summertime comes and everybody's partying. You want to go to Africa and be a missionary when the missionary comes and speaks? And then when you go to a Jay-Z concert, you want to be a rapper. You know, you can't make up your mind what you want to be. You're unstable, blown by the wind. Not only does he tell us that we need to see beyond our trial, we need to not cave in, we need to ask for wisdom, and lastly, don't depend on your resources. Don't depend on your resources. Don't place your confidence in your reserve. You see, the challenge when we're under pressure and in a trial is that many of us look to ourselves as our resource. And he addresses this issue, basically the issue of inequality. He says, brothers, in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. What does that mean? If you are, he's talking about financial inequality. He says, if you're here and you don't have a lot of resources, and you say, well, if I just had money, I could solve this problem. If I just had money, I could pay the right doctor for the treatment. If I just had money, I could, you know, provide a better setting for my wife and she wouldn't leave me. If I just had money, I could help that person go into treatment. If I just had money, I could. So sometimes when you have money, you think that money solves all your issues. And James says to the brother that lives in humble circumstances, in other words, you're not strong on resources, that you ought to take pride in your high position. What high position? The fact that you may not have a lot of money, but you have a God that's on the throne and in control and direct access to that Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and that you, in your lowly position, have access to the highest power in the universe. So you need to take, if you're in a humble position, you need to take pride in your high position in God. Verse 10, but the one who's rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like the wildflower. The one who's rich and tempted to trust in his riches should take pride that even though he's rich, he's a brother to the poor person and he's a servant leader. So he may have wealth and he may have letters behind his name, but he's no better than the homeless person on the street that loves Jesus. And so he should put himself in position and realize, hey, all the wealth that I have is going to pass away. So it's the equalizer when we understand who we are before God. And so he says, for the sun will rise in the scorching heat and withers the plant. It blossoms and falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. And he's not saying that it's bad to be rich. He's not saying that you should not make wealth. He's not saying that riches are evil. He's simply saying that you shouldn't depend on your riches. You should depend on God. So if you're in the middle of a trial, don't resort to your wealth thinking that your money can solve all your problems. If you're in the middle of the trial and you're poor, don't bemoan the fact that if you had wealth, you could solve all your problems. Ultimately, our confidence is still the same, whether you are poor or whether you are rich. Our ultimate confidence is in who God is to take us through this trial. And then he ends this section in verse 12. He says, blessed is the man. And by the way, when he says man, is generic for man and women in this case. He's not simply speaking to man, mankind. Blessed is the person who perseveres under trial. Blessed is the person who you're still under trial, but you say, I'm going to do what's right even when it's hard. Does God want you to stay in that marriage? Well, Pastor, it's hard. I know it's hard. I didn't ask you if it's hard. I asked you, is it right? Pastor, you don't know how hard it is. I know. I'm not asking that. I'm asking what's right, not what's easy. You don't know. I put up with a lot, and he's pretty much a jerk. And there's this guy at work. Boy, he knows how to treat a lady. Listen, I'm not asking what's easy. I'm asking what's right before God. Okay, well, I'm going to stay married to him, but I'm not going to like him. I want you to do what's right with the right attitude. So I'm putting up under the weight through this trial, and I'm not becoming this bitter, angry, desolate, shriveled up, cranky individual. I'm putting up with this trial, but I'm keeping my joy, because my ultimate hope and fulfillment comes from who God is. And so even, and there's something that's happening to me. I'm becoming stronger, more joy-filled, more faith-filled. I understand the Word of God more. I understand grace more. I understand Jesus more. I'm more Spirit-filled, more Spirit-led, more Spirit-empowered. Why? Because I'm hupomoneing it under pressure, and my heart is changing, and character's developing, and someone runs into me a few years later, and they say, what's happened to you? Man, you are mature. There's something about you. I want to be like you are. You know Jesus. You're walking strong. strong and faithful. I can tell you've been walking with the Savior. They don't know that you've been through the fire to make that happen. You've done what's right when it was hard, keeping the right attitude. That's what's developed your character.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called James, Faith That Works. And tonight was the second half of his message called Positive Under Pressure. Join us again tomorrow for part two, Temptation Trap. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow. Have a great night, and God bless.